Don't loiter. Don't sleep in public. Don't urinate in public. Laws like that are on the books in a lot of Washington cities. And for people who are homeless, breaking these laws turns their survival into a criminal act. That's according to the Homeless Rights Advocacy Project at Seattle University. They studied ordinances statewide. Seattle University law professor Sarah Rankin and her students found that real-life consequences for people who live on the streets can be devastating.
Mostly people are crying when they talk to me about the impact of these laws on their lives. Incredibly demoralizing, incredibly dehumanizing, because there is no public space for you to literally exist. And so it's hard to measure that impact. I would say, though, that it actually has an impact on those of us who are housed as well. If you're not persuaded by the economic arguments that show that these laws are incredibly expensive and ineffective, and you're not persuaded, you know, by the moral arguments, at some level, we have to be reflective and ask ourselves, what does it say about our own collective moral compass, that this is the way that we approach our most vulnerable members of society?
When you look at Seattle, specifically where Seattle University is located, and where you and I are speaking, when it comes to enforcement ordinances, what did you find?
Well, we did find that the number of ordinances has proliferated, that we've seen exponential growth in these laws over the years. We also found some very interesting trends in terms of population growth, so that as any particular city has an increase in population, the minimum number of life-sustaining activities that are prohibited also grows. So the more punitive or persecutory a space becomes.
So am I understanding this right? The more homeless people we have, the more laws against activities that they might engage in are put on the books?
It's hard to say if it's the more homeless people, but certainly the more people, right? So the more people in a particular location. Another interesting related takeaway is that we've been able to show is that as the income gap grows between the rich and the poor, the more likely these laws are to be enforced.
Well, so we've seen a huge growth in that gap in Seattle. So are these laws being enforced more stringently here?
Seattle is an interesting case study. This first pass-through, as granular as it is, we hope will start a dialogue with a number of cities, not just Seattle, but a number of other cities that have had some fairly problematic experiences in terms of how their laws deal with homelessness. And the main takeaway, I think, from the research is that the criminal justice system is not effective at dealing with the problem of poverty. And in fact, the use of the criminal justice system to address problems of poverty and homelessness is not just ineffective because it doesn't address those causes, but it's expensive. It's an enormous fiscal drain.
I'm talking with Seattle University law professor Sarah Rankin. She and her students have looked at the effects of laws that effectively criminalize behaviors that a lot of people who don't have homes engage in just to survive on the streets where they live. I was thinking about this and about the focus that you have for this study, and the fact is that there's perhaps fear and suspicion, but some behaviors like public defecation, public urination are really unpleasant for people to encounter on the street. And so is some of the response by municipalities just simply, gosh, we would like it to be nice for people walking on the streets? I know that sounds so Pollyanna.
No, it doesn't. I think the piece of all of this, if there's a behavior to focus on that I think is toughest to confront, it would be public urination and defecation. That's something that's fairly transparent in terms of public health. But the response to that isn't to sweep people under a rug and into the criminal justice system. The response to that should be to say, well, if we want to create a circumstance where someone has a reasonable alternative, what there should be is a reasonable access to sanitation facilities, to public restrooms. And we know that the studies show that there's a real failure for cities to provide adequate access to those types of facilities. But I did want to address something that you raised. We often hear the narrative of kind of cleaning up the streets.
Mm-hmm.
And the caution I would use is, except with respect to something like public urination and defecation, there are certainly people who are housed who engage in that activity as well, right? is the focus on the cleaning up of the streets oftentimes feeds into that narrative of looking at homeless individuals as trash or something that needs to be cleaned up. What we've actually seen is the purported benefits of these laws are often touted to be needing to improve the economic bottom line of businesses who say that they're suffering because of the presence of visibly poor people, and also public safety. I have never seen a study that has shown that the enactment or enforcement of these laws leads to any positive outcomes. In fact, I've seen studies that show the opposite, that there is no meaningful relationship between the presence or enforcement of these laws and public safety and the economic bottom line of businesses.
So if we don't have laws like this, what should we do?
We should listen to the experts who have shown in study after study after study after study that nothing solves homelessness like a home. The making affordable housing more accessible. A number of our terrific collaborative partners, so the Washington Low Income Housing Alliance, and so many others, have really lovely legislative agendas that have all sorts of suggestions for policymakers to consider that would do a better job of addressing the root causes of poverty and homelessness.
Seattle University Law Professor Sarah Rankin. She and her students just published a report about the criminalization of homelessness in Washington State.